Acts 13, verse 2. Acts 13, verse 2. Acts 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." I've been taking some time speaking about relationships and of all forms and all kinds. And yesterday we got to see that there is that possibility for a relationship to experience a strain or a stress. In fact, the Holy Ghost was the one that said this in Acts 13. But then we all know what happened is that there were separations. So Barnabas and Saul were called together. By the end of the day, it did not work. The relationship did not work. In fact, the first example we find of this is right in Genesis. God calls man to himself, and at the end of the day, the relationship that he had with man did not work. There was a separation. You know, the devil always has an intelligent scheme of causing separation to profitable relationships. We're going to take some time this evening praying about relationships. He has an intelligent, smart scheme. He intends to break relationships that God has brought together. And we see that many relationships that God brought together, few of them worked. Quite a number of them did not really work. God and Adam and Eve is the first one that we typically see. God and his relationship with Israel, you find how he used to speak like a broken-hearted man. It's amazing. You know, he spoke as though his heart was bleeding because of Israel. You know, when he keeps, you know, pouring out his heart that he had saved Israel, he had delivered Israel. You know, he had given to Israel the things that were demanded of them. And yet still Israel chose to follow after strange gods. It's amazing. But as we pray this evening, the prayer is going to be in two forms or in two sides. Every relationship that is earmarked by God for your life and the fulfillment of the destiny that he's called you to fulfill, those relationships will be discovered and they will be found. That's the first aspect of the prayer. Every relationship that is required, relationships within the confines of the local assembly, relationships for businesses, relationships for ministry, relationships that profit you in different sectors and in different areas. As we pray this evening, I think I should pray one of them. We'll go on to pray the other one. So you are getting to recognize and you are getting to receive these relationships that God has earmarked for you. As you pray, you are praying them out. You're praying these relationships out. You are praying these relationships out. You are praying these relationships out. You know, there was a time, I think I went with somebody. We went to Accra to get some things and we got lost somewhere. And there was a man that appeared who claimed to be a soldier man who walked us a long distance to the point where we were going to board a car where we could identify that this was a car. I mean, this was a place where we could board a car. He took us there, a long walking. He walked with us through to that time or through to that place. That is also a relationship. You see, there are certain relationships that God causes to appear for a specific season, for a specific cause, and for a specific time. All those relationships that are required, that are necessary for the fulfillment of God's plan and God's will for your life, those relationships will not be missed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So as we begin to, every relationship that is vital, 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 every friendship that is vital, every, you know, connection that is vital for the fulfillment of God's plan for your life, as we pray it in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Those people are going to be discovered. Sometimes even in the local assembly or wherever it is at your job, you can be working with somebody for 5 years. And yet still that person is the reason why you will move to the next level, but you do not know. And it seems very hidden to you. But from this evening, those spices in relationships, they will begin to come up. They will begin to come up. They will begin to come up. They'll begin to come up. Some of the friends you walked out on that you were not supposed to walk out on, they'll begin to show up again. And it's wisdom that handles relationships. They'll begin to show up again. As we pray this evening, relevant relationships for the fulfillment of all that God wants us to do in every area of our lives. In every area of our lives, in every area of our lives, those friendships, those relationships, we pray them out. We pray them out. Don't joke with it. You know, when the enemy wants to bring chaos and confusion into your life, he also sends relationships. Yes. You have not met somebody before that smokes weed and suddenly you desire to smoke weed before. He sends these relationships as well. He sends a lot of useless relationships, a lot of relationships that get you out of what God wants you to do. And that's why we pray. That's why we pray. It's so that these relationships are going to be discovered. These relationships are going to be found. These relationships are not, you know, are going to be discovered. We discover these relationships. You know, there are relationships within the ministry that if you get close to, your ministry may never be the same again. Your evangelisms may never be the same again. Your discipleships may never be the same again. Your music ministry will never be the same again. Your desire to serve God will never be the same again. But probably you may not have discovered them. But as we pray, all of these relationships that are required is going to be found. And yes, we can talk about relationships without talking about friendly relationships. Or what I called, yes, boyfriend, girlfriend, marital relationship. All of them are relationships. But you are going to be discovering every relationship that is required for the fulfillment of God's plan and God's will for your life. You're going to pray out these relationships wherever they are.
Father,
call them
so from. Perfect. Lord, I call for profitable relationships.
So we see that God had called Barnabas and Saul together, but the relationship did not work. You know, many relationships that look like they didn't work, I can tell you that sometimes God's hand is in the relationship. Yes. Yes. So, Pastor, is it possible that God can call a relationship together and the relationship doesn't work. A big yes. A big, 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 big yes. God has so many desires. He desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. If he had, everybody would be saved. But not everybody is saved. God calls relationships together and these relationships do not work. His relationship with Adam and Eve did not work. His relationship with Israel, it didn't work. He came to his own and his own despised him. He was a man rejected, acquainted. He was a man that was known for having grief because the very people he was sent to relate with did not accept him and did not agree with him. They are marital relationships that God himself brought together and those relationships did not work. So the fact that God calls it does not mean it's going to work. The people involved in those relationships must make the relationship work. Paul and Barnabas is a typical example. The Holy Ghost said through the mouths of the prophets and teachers who were gathered in Antioch. But what happened? The relationship failed. It did not work. People of God, there are times God brings relationships together. There are times God brought you together with a supposedly mean boss who, if you humble yourself and learn, you will get everything that you are supposed to get. But because there is not that humility to learn, that relationship becomes fractured. And yet still God brought it together. Yes, there are times where God brings you as Joseph into Potiphar's home. And Potiphar's wife has eyes for you. If you, Joseph, do not learn how to escape from sin, you may be caught. And Potiphar's relationship with you, as you becoming the prime minister, or you being trained by God to becoming the prime minister, will not come to pass. Not because he didn't send you there. He sent you there as Joseph, but it will not work. It will not work. Because when you were supposed to be fleeing, you also looked at her with lust and you slept with her. So a vital virtue of keeping relationships is the wisdom of God. 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 God can bring relationships together. God can call you to a pastor and give you to a pastor and say that all your life be pastored by this person. But an attitude will cause you to say that I'm walking out and I'm not interested in all of these things and whatever. And the relationship fails. God can call two people together, say, marry the fellow. But because as a lady, your mouth cannot be respectful and you don't know how to talk, that relationship will be severed. God can call a man to a woman. And because you, a man, you are not loyal to the woman, that relationship does not work. So you need wisdom in handling the relationships that God sends to you. In fact, many of the times he sends them to you. 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 Say, oh, why is the pastor so hard and why is he so insistent that everybody should do this, everybody should behave? Oh no, meanwhile God has sent you to him. He's the one God has sent you to. You see? Yes. from this evening, you are receiving wisdom. You see, that's why when people say that, see, when people say that, me, if you do something to me, I'll leave. It's not every time you have to leave. Oh. There are some times you have to stay there. Eh? You have to stay there. Pastor, should I stay there and suffer? Stay there and suffer. Stay there and suffer. Oh, my boss has a lot of expectations of me. There are a lot of assignments. He gives me, I want a different job that doesn't have anything. I just go and sit down. Hey, no, you're missing it. You're missing it. Let me show you something in Genesis. Something very profitable for our conversation. Genesis chapter number 9. Before that, let me show you another story in Genesis. And I'll read from the NLT Bible. Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. This was a story before, a story that entails two mistresses. I'm just going to show you something very important. You are receiving wisdom to handle relationships. Every kind of relationship. Especially God sent to you. That's why when you say that, Pastor didn't text me on my birthday. Pastor didn't post me on my birthday. So I'm working out. You don't understand. What you share is bigger than birthday. It's far bigger than birthday. It's far bigger than birthday. Okay, let's hold on with the comments. I'm just going to show you the scripture and then we'll be out of here. Genesis chapter 19, NLT version. Can someone help me with it? So some of you, that's why you must begin to mend the broken relationship. Begin to mend that broken relationship. Yes, the go back. Eh? Don't say that you don't care. He says, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. So this is what happened. Sarah is Abraham's wife, but she is not able to take seed. So Sarah, being kind, tells Abraham to go and sleep with another woman so that he could have a child. See, I think that's very kind of Sarah and thoughtful of her. But this was actually wrong. You know, according to God's plan, it was wrong. She should have just believed that God said he would give them a child and she could have stayed. But then look at what happened. So Sarah is now telling Abraham that go and sleep with another woman. Go and sleep with another woman. Go and sleep with her. It's like a pastor who gives you an alternative that is not the plan of God. Because maybe in quotes, they care about your cares. You know. I've been put in that situation many times. And I'm saying, go and sleep with another woman. Let's go and sleep with another woman. But that going to sleep with another woman is not the plan of God. The plan of God is that you should wait and have Isaac. It's the same thing Sarah is doing here, but that's not my emphasis this evening. So the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. and Abraham agreed with Sarah's proposal. So Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abraham as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abraham had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abraham had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarah, with contempt. She began to get proud. So you see, she begins to handle the relationship wrongly. My husband, I've given him to you to sleep with so you can have a child, or he can have a child. Now you are now trying to disrespect me because I do not have a child. That is what is happening. I gave him to you, so you can be part of what I'm. And Abraham was a rich man, so you can enjoy some of the things that I enjoy. Now you are now coming to treat me with contempt. Huh? God is giving you wisdom in knowing how to handle relationships that bring good things to you. Amen. That you are.
Amen. Amen.
Then Sarah said to Abraham, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who is wrong, you or me." So Abraham didn't want any trouble. He just removed his hands. He said that, "Look, she's your servant. So deal with her as you see fit." See, Abraham washed his hands and said, "She's your servant. Deal with her." Then Sarah treated Hagar so harshly. She treated Hagar so harshly that Hagar ran away. She ran away. She boycotted the relationship that was meant to bring her good. You would have never had Abraham. You would have never had Abraham if not for Sarah. You would have never been in church if not for that relationship. You would have never known God the way you know him today if not for that relationship. You may not be in the ministry if not for that relationship. Oh yes, you just may never have had. You may never have gone to school because of that person. Yes. You may never have. You may never have known how to pray the way you do, if not for that relationship. Now you, O Haggai, is now saying that your mistress is a barren woman. I'm sure Hagar would have made some mockery. Maybe when Sarah is passing, she mocks, like, hey, you know, that kind of a mocking, like, hey, right? Hey. Or maybe when Sarah is passing, she would then pick the baby Ishmael and then be the somebody will not get, you know, that kind of a thing. Start to treat with contempt. Start to treat with contempt. Start to treat with contempt. But so Sarah is starting to treat her very hardly. You know, very hardly. Very hardly. It's getting very difficult, you know, because Abraham had told her to handle her the way she ought to be handled. It became very difficult. So Hagar is now saying that, I'm leaving that relationship. I'm walking out of that relationship. I'm tired. I'm tired. Is that not the same thing that happens also between Paul and Barnabas? It's a sharp contention, and Paul and Barnabas decide that we're splitting off that relationship. See, let me tell you something. Wisdom teaches you to keep the relationships that God has sent to you. That's why we're praying to God for wisdom. That we will be able to handle the relationships that are given to us.
Amen.
Yeah. So, she ran away. I'm done. I'm done. Now, verse 7. The angel of the Lord found Haggai beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road of Shur. The angel said to Haggai, Sarah's servant, where have you come from? Where are you going? Haggai, where are you going? Why are you breaking that relationship? Oh Lord, she doesn't, not exactly. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? You know, it's like somebody who says that, I'm not going to call my father again. Where are you going? Huh? Is it that, I'm not going to call my mother again. Why? Because my mother has hurt me. So where are you going? Your mother has hurt what? Huh? Your mother has hurt what? Where are you going? Your mother has hurt what? Where are you going? And I don't like to even relate. Hey, where are you going? Hey guy, where are you going? Now don't take me don't take me out of context. I'm speaking within context. Because relationships that are inspired by God within, you know, that God led you into, these are supernatural relationships. Where are you going? What are you going to do? Of course, because there are relationships to walk out of. If it's toxic, if it's abusive, you're beating, whatever. But this is not the kind of relationship we're talking about. I'm talking about relationships that are inspired by God. Relationships that God sent to you. Where are you going? Your parents must be relationships that God started. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. The same Bible that's saying that you should serve God is the same Bible that says you should honor your parents. Uh-huh. So how are you going to do it? Oh yes, honor your father. Serve the Lord steadfastly. Be movable, unshakable, abounding in your service to the Lord. The same one. What are you going to do? Of course, in situations like this, you're gonna choose, of course, the will of God in the situation. But even in situations like this, it has to be prayed through with a lot of wisdom, right? So Haggai is running away. Then the angel of the Lord meets Haggai. Where are you going? Ask your friend, where are you going? Huh? Where have you come from? Where are you going? Ask your friend. Friend, where are you going? Huh? Where are you going? Where are you going? Your pastor speaks to you in a way that you are not happy. Where are you going? 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 I should have been spoken to in a certain. Where are you going? Right? Yeah, where are you going? your boss that you know, that you know, that you know, God put you under. Of course, God put you under. Say that he's giving you a lot of targets. You talk against. Where are you going? Where are you going? So, the angel of the Lord met her and said, where are you going? Then she now replies, okay, hold on with the comments, please. Thank you. Thank you. We'll be out of here very soon. We'll be out of here very soon. So she replied. Could I have the scriptures a lot more faster? She replied. The angel of the Lord found Hagar. No. Yes. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her authority. Then he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. And the angel also said, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears, for the Lord has heard your cry and your distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. Dear Lord, have mercy. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in hoping hostility against all his relatives. Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who she had spoken to, and she said, you are the God who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? Wow. Go back. There's a blessing, is what he's saying. In short, don't rebel. Don't rebel. Don't cut the relationship. Don't break the relationship. Especially, again, I say this with a lot of caution, relationships that are supernaturally orchestrated by God. You know those relationships. The relationships given you within the confines of a local assembly. You know those relationships. Those relationships that inspired you to serve the Lord. You know those relationships. Those relationships that pushed you further in the plan of God, in the will of God. You know those relationships. You know those voices that inspired you. You know those relationships that pushed you in into God's plan. You know that relationship. Don't walk out of it. 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 So hey guy, go back, go and submit. Hey, she's very difficult. Hey guy, there's something that you are carrying. He's called Ishmael. He's also a great man, but it's going to come with quite some pressuring. You need to stay there. You need to stay there. You need to stay there. You need to stay. Oh, but the instructions within the local assembly is very structured and very strict and, unbending and uncompromising. Hey guy, that is where the blessing is. That's where you're going to be blessed. That's where you're going to be blessed. So stay there, right there, and submit to it. Don't rebel. Don't resist it. Don't rebel. Don't walk out. Don't call it dung. So I can imagine Hagar going back in tears. Pastor, I'm back. Mommy, I know you have been sharp-mouthed towards my useless behaviors. But mommy, I'm back. I'm back. A lot of you have useless behaviors. That's why your mothers always are talking about you. You have bad behaviors. You say they don't like to praise you. They don't like to do this. They don't like to do it. Like the behavior is not good. Some of the people, the guys, some of the ladies you are chasing, their mothers tell you what they do. You run away. You say, hey, is that, they will come out dressed with wigs and all of those things. But you ask their mothers. Ask their mothers. Their mothers will tell you. They don't wash, they don't know how to clean, they don't do this. You see something, ask, they'll tell you. Or they wash, but they can't wash well. Eh? They wash, but they don't wash well. Or it tells you if you have a mother that can cook very well. She destabilizes and rebukes and criticizes your cooking. But you won't keep quiet, you see. You say that, oh, mommy, I can also cook. But you can't cook. The way she can cook, you can't cook that way. It's a, I don't seem to have a flowing attitude with my mother. Why don't you have a flowing attitude with your mother? Because you cannot do the things that she wants you to do. Yeah, she sees you as a lazy cocoon. You know what a lazy cocoon is? A cocoon doesn't like to move. You say, there. Lazy. That's why you have a lot of fights with your mother, with your mistress. Yes. Abe soup, you can't prepare. You say that is nowadays you don't know how to prepare abe soup. Abe soup people don't really eat. What if we want to eat abe soup? What if? You say, Pastor, then you have to go to the restaurant. Okay, we hear you. We hear you. We hear you. We are sorry. We are sorry. Because you don't eat abe soup, we shouldn't eat abe soup. Because we shouldn't eat abe soup. The guys too, you are also the same. The same thing. When they want to talk to you that you are lazy and you don't do anything, then you get angry, you become rebellious. But that's the truth. Me, I'm saying that anything your parents tells me about you, I believe them. I believe your best, but I believe them. I believe, it's like that. Just beg them not to tell me something. If they tell me, I'll believe them. Yeah, I believe them. Then I'll now believe the best of you, that you will become better. Yes. Many of you that your parents have reported you to me, I don't take your side. Yes. I believe they are best and I try to also see how best I can help you. But it is true. It is very true. Why would they accuse you of not knowing how to cook, not knowing how to wash, not knowing how to, not doing what you have to do at home? Why would they accuse you to do it if you do it? If you do it, why would they say you don't do it? Say, Pastor, I've been always doing this. One time I didn't do it. Why didn't you do it that one time? Why didn't you do it that one time? Yes. Me, when I catch a thief in the pharmacy when I was working, the first time we catch you, we assume that everything that has been getting missing is you. Yes, that's the principle I use. The moment we catch you, everything is you. All the chewing gum that we can't find, the dewormers we can't find, everything is you. Because you are the one we have caught. You are the one we are going to hold you responsible. Oh yes. Say, I just stole one time and I've been caught. Sorry. 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 So where are you going to? You see, those relationships, where are you going to? I want you to be like, hey, are you listening? Go back. Don't walk out. Don't walk out. And I'm going to pray a prayer for you. One of the things that has helped me is that I've learned to keep relationships that I know that God sent to me. Yes. The relationships that I know. I may not talk to them every day. But I some way, somehow can have those significant relationships in my life. I can say that this point in time, this is here, this person is here. I think I saw Ransford today. Yes, my JHS primary from primary 5. Yes, he's here. I might not be able to keep all, but there are some that may be profitable. You see, for the sake of the ministry, it has to be kept. My SHS relationships, kept them. Anthony, Senior Fred. I can mention the name. I didn't have a lot of people, but those were important relationships that I had. My JHS class teacher, my pastor, my whatever, all of those things, they are still intact. because I recognize what God has used them to do and what they stand for and what they represent. I may not have to know everybody, but you must be able to recognize those relationships. They are relationships. There are relationships that God Himself has sent to you. You must recognize. Don't move away like Barnabas. Don't move away like Barnabas. Don't walk out like Barnabas. You see, Barnabas, it will go against you. Paul will still fulfill his ministry with Timothy. Paul will still fulfill his ministry with Silas. But Barnabas, you will not fulfill yours. You are the one supposed to be in the relay. You have to know. Paul is standing. He is a template. He will fulfill it. You will not fulfill it. You will not fulfill it. You will not fulfill it. Barnabas, the moment you leave, you are finished. We don't hear of you again. Paul is still going to move on to write 2/3 of the New Testament. He's going to have a protege called Timothy. He's going to have written a lot of letters to the churches. But you, Barnabas, you were supposed to benefit from that relationship. Don't walk out. Know how to handle them. And like I said, there will be issues. There will be time, yea, where Adam will eat the fruit that you have asked him not to eat. It is okay. There are times where in God's relationship with Israel, Israel will follow after vain gods and evil gods. It is okay. There are times where Jesus Christ will come to his own will not receive him. It is okay. There are times where there will be an issue with Barnabas. There will be an issue with Barnabas. You have an issue with Barnabas together about John Mark. It is okay. You see, when two boys are saying that they like the same girl, you see, and because of one girl, you say you are walking out of the relationship. Don't do that. You can find another one. You allow him to take. But don't be a fool. I'm teaching you how to be smart in God's plan. Don't walk out. The ladies have this problem. They all like the same guy. One person gets the guy, the other person has walked out. Don't walk out. God's plan is bigger than what you see. In fact, you should tell him that, hey, if it doesn't happen, I'll still be here. I'm not going. I don't have shame. This thing, there's no shame inside. There is nothing like shame. We don't have shame. What we see is the plan of God. What we see is the will of God. So relationships are going to experience strains. They're going to experience stresses. They're going to experience fractures. But please, see the plan of God. See the will of God. See what God is doing in that relationship. In that discipleship group, see the discipleship group as what God is doing. Don't see you. You're not supposed to be seeing you. See what God is doing. That discipleship group, they only do this. See the group. Don't see you. Don't see you. Don't see you. Look, if I had not gotten to know Pastor Prince Bekwain, I do not know how. I don't want to carelessly say I would have gotten to know the gospel, because that's very careless to say. That's an ingratitude. A person that is full of ingratitude. So I would just say, I don't know how. You see, I don't know how. I don't know how. Don't say that. Yes, if he didn't come, God is going to send somebody else. Yeah, don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. I don't know how I would have had someone like my pastor if he was not here. I don't know who would have played that role. I can't overlook it. You shouldn't overlook it. So God is granting you wisdom to know relationships. I pray for you. Everything is going to come via relationship. Everything is going to happen via relationship. Everything that God will do, God will accomplish in your life, it will come via relationship. Those relationships sometimes may be hard, may be difficult, may be unpleasant, may be straining, may be stressful, you know, may be demanding, you know, different things that relationships come with. But don't. Again, within the context of what I'm communicating, supernatural relationships. You know, one time I looked at one of the people I disciple. I said, hey, this person is a wise person. I said it to myself. Yes. Because I can rebuke the person and the person still comes back to say, thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Then I say, hey, this person is a wise person. I always look at it and say, hey, this person is a wise person. And I look at it and I laugh sometimes. I said, you see that you correct hardly, sometimes sharply. I said, come back, say, Pastor, thank you for saving my. I said, hey. And it causes you to even love the person even more. I'm telling you. I don't know what relationship, but if your boss corrects you and you go back to him and say, the next morning you say, oh, boss, I just decided to pass by. And then I thought to say thank you for correcting me, though it was not, but I thank you. Thank you for loving me enough to correct me. You know what he's going to say? He won't tell you. You are marked for something greater. I'm telling you. You are marked for something bigger. Just that he won't tell you. Rather than squeeze your face and you don't greet, or you greet, but you greet dryly. You greet without life. There's a problem. So learn this wisdom. You know, one time someone called me, and the person was telling me, this is what this person did me. This is what this person did to me. I listened to it, but I said, I told the person, I said, listen to me. What this person has done for you, he cannot wrong you. He can't wrong you. You see, there are people in your life who cannot wrong you. I want you to know that they can't wrong you. You know, when I say they can't wrong you, I'm not saying that they wouldn't wrong you. They can't wrong you. It means when they do wrong, you choose not to see it as wrong because they cannot. Because what they have done for you and the privilege they have given to you, it cannot be compared to. It's like, you can't wrong me. You can't wrong me. What are you going to wrong me? Huh? My English is stopping. I feel like speaking broken. What are you going to wrong me? For what? Huh? For where? Why are you going to be wronged? Or where am I going to be wronged? There are people in your life. You must know that too. You must know that. I'm telling you. If not, you would sack all the beautiful people who have been with you and who have helped you and you will sack all of them away. There are people who can wrong you. There are people who can wrong you. They can't wrong you. They can't wrong you. They can't wrong you. They can't wrong you. Maybe my pastor's there. He can't wrong me. There's nothing he will do that can wrong me. He has wronged me. He has done me wrong. Done you what wrong? The good he has done for you far outweighs any wrong he will do for you ever in life again. So these meetings I'm having with you, I'm hoping they make your relationships better. Because I'm very intentional about your relationships in the local assembly, your relationships in the thing that your relationships. I hope they make them better. And because there's a blessedness that comes with every relationship, you're going to be blessed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for wisdom in handling them. Like I said, they could be broken. Yes. They could experience fractures. They could experience strains. They could experience stress. But always remember, God brought us together. Christ family, always remember, God brought us together. There may be fights. There may be disagreements. There may be one, but God brought us together. God brought us together. He brought us together. He picked every one of us and he brought us together. So while in fact we may be whatever, let's not forget. Are you listening? Let's not forget. There may be disagreements, but let's not forget. God brought us together. He brought us together. If we keep this on our side, everything will come. Every storm will arise. And yet still, we are going to be strong and even much stronger together. Much stronger together. Name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for everyone, for wisdom in relationships. Thank you. And we come to this place of wisdom that there will be stress, there will be strain, there will be fractures, there will be instances. But then we choose to see your plan in what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I hope it helps you in every type of relationship. Your parents, your siblings, your pastor, the friends you have in church, the family you have in church, relationships that are built, all of these things. What is beautiful if we stay on this together? And we keep at it. We keep at it. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you. Bujavet is a step of those mankas, those of Ferba, hash there. Vivi, o so so feba, shoso pretisa, stopa piva sonto, shuse vergetes is a chevratoso. Kiesetel, faratoso, fisu statul, farakite, susto prante kise. For my wisdom is going to be available to you. Susumangra dea, stoso, sasisisto. First, you will get to identify those relationships. You'll get to identify. Those put ahead of you, those sent to labor over you, those sent to teach you. Yeah, you will identify those relationships. Ahead of you at your workplace, wherever it is that you find yourself, first identify. No, this is a relationship that cannot hurt. This is a relationship that God sent. And as you remember these relationships, you get to guard and to keep them. You keep them as treasures. Don't mishandle them. Shower them with love. Shower them with care. Shower them with compassion. Yes, shower them. Shower them. Yeah, there are times where you have to forgive as well. Just let it go. See God in those relationships. Kojuba, praise there. Sujo, prate. And yes, Yes. Kushlo pray, Jesus, Stopra, Taylor. Don't be mute on them. Don't be mute as to what those relationships mean to you. Find words that express how grateful you are for those relationships, for friends, for families, for siblings, for pastors, for teachers. Find ways to express, for expressions are going to be nourishing in these relationships. You know, don't have relationships where you are protective and secretive. That's how to kill the relationship. At times where you ought to be gratitude, be full of gratitude. At times where you ought to be full of thanks, be full of thanks. At times where you ought to be, you know, just recognizing what those relationships have meant to you. Do them. And as you do them, you even realize your walk with me gets better. Because I approve of being grateful of the gifts that I sent to you. Yes. Kisto. Talisha. For as you do these things, your relationships will grow. Your relationships will thrive. Your relationships will be well nourished. And by then, you will see and you will have all that my plan entails. Yeah. Glory to God.